Welcome to the Healing Journeys Today podcast. Today we've got an amazing message of hope and healing just for you. God's word never returns to him void, so let this message sink deep into your heart so that you can walk out your complete healing journey today.
Hi, I'm Deborah McDermott, and this is Healing Journeys Today. My teaching today has two titles. Number one is Out, and number two is Don't Fear, Only Believe. Mark 5, 37, around about there. Let's find that. This is where the ruler of the synagogue went to find Jesus and to tell him, my daughter is very ill, please come. And Jesus said, I will come and heal her. So it starts off with, and he said, daughter, firstly, he's waylaid by the woman with the issue of blood. So he stops and heals her, and then he moves on. In the meantime, somebody, while he was still speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house who said, your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further? And as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, do not be afraid, only believe. And that is huge, and that's what I specifically wish to talk about today. Jesus then went on, and it said he permitted no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John. Then he came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and saw a tumult and those who wept and wailed loudly. When he came in, he said to them, why make you this commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping. So remember, he had already warned the father, don't fear, only believe, which is just as well, because when they were weeping and wailing and causing a huge commotion, that is going to impact on you as far as your belief. But he had already been told, don't fear, only believe. Imagine that today. I like to read the Bible and then put that into some sort of context that applies to me. So imagine today the people responding to our diagnosis, our loved ones, our children's diagnosis or prognosis or symptoms or behaviors or outcomes. I'm thinking of specialists, teachers, in-laws, neighbors, parents, relatives, Facebook posts, blogs, tweets, advice, criticism, sympathy, suggestions, opinions, scientific facts, books, magazines. It's all too much. There comes a time when we just have to say, why is there such a commotion? And how did Jesus respond to this? He said, why is there such a commotion? The child is not dead, but sleeping. And how did they respond? And they ridiculed him. They ridiculed him, the creator of the universe, the one who knit this little child together in her mother's womb. They laughed, they mocked, they scorned, they scoffed. They ridiculed him. Why? He spoke out the truth that trumps the facts. And he was not afraid of how they would feel, of his reputation as a rabbi. They ridiculed him. They laughed at the creator of the universe. Are you prepared to be ridiculed? Are you prepared to lose your reputation among people who you may want to think well of you, or to think you're intelligent or educated? Are you prepared to risk your reputation, to be mocked, to be scoffed at, laughed at, scorned, sneered, ridiculed, treated with derision? Are you prepared to do that? Jesus had warned the Father, do not be afraid, only believe. Now you think about the ruler of the synagogue. He was accustomed to being revered, esteemed, respected, looked up to at the very least. And here these people were mocking the one who every ounce of his faith was in order to see his child healed. Do you think he took into consideration his reputation with these people and decided not to be seen, to be adhering to Jesus, to the master, the rabbi? Do you think he wanted to distance himself because, you know, after all, he's accustomed to being respected and esteemed by these people? He didn't want to lose his reputation or for people to think he's silly or foolish or superstitious or stupid. He didn't want to be laughed and scoffed and mocked at. Or did he not care because he had a mission? He had something he was working on. Did he decide to let go of his reputation? When you dare to believe the word of God above what you see in the natural, be warned, and this is another aspect that I'm bringing in here, be warned, there is a possibility things are about to get worse. So he believed in Jesus. He finally went to him and said, Lord, will you come? My daughter is very ill at the point of death. And what happened? She died. Somebody came and gave a report. Immediately he dared to believe. Someone came with a report worse. Don't be afraid, only believe. If you decide to make a stand and decide, I am going to believe, don't be afraid, only believe. There is a possibility the next report will be worse. The next report will challenge your stand of faith. The next report may be the one that says it has got worse. Do not be afraid, only believe. That is what Jesus said to him. That is what we have to do. Be prepared to refuse to fear. Be prepared to only believe no matter what the next report is that comes in. And of course, no matter what people are saying all around you. When people start criticizing, rebuking, mocking, laughing, be prepared. Don't be afraid. Only believe. Don't take it into consideration. Only believe. In Proverbs 29:25, we read, the fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe. Fear of man brings a snare, never more so than when you are a well-educated, intelligent person who enjoys a reasonably good reputation among intelligent peers, and suddenly you decide to believe something that they would ridicule, that they would call superstition, or they would think is downright irresponsible, and that they would accuse you of being in denial or being stupid, foolish. Are you prepared to be seen to be foolish? You must be, because if they thought that of Jesus, they're going to think it of us. But if we want his results, we got to be prepared to do what he did. And what did he do? Let's look at verse 40. And they ridiculed him. But when he had put them all outside, so he took no notice. He battened down the hatches and he was focused. He had a job to do. He had come to see this child healed. And he wasn't interested in the commotion, the weeping, the wailing, the mocking, the ridiculing, the criticizing, whatever. He put them out. That's why in the beginning I said, out. Because do you think they went out in a quiet and reverent, respectful, the master says we must leave now. They were ridiculing him. They were mocking. They probably didn't want him. He probably had to push them out. Shout, get out. He probably had to be forceful. We are going to need at times, but with the guidance of the Holy Spirit, who will rise up inside of us at times and say, enough, silence, out. I am working on something here. You need to quiet the voices. He put them outside. Sometimes we just have to put them out. We need to switch off Facebook. We need to unfollow, to delete, to avert our gaze, quiet the sounds. We need to focus. We are on a mission. We are working on something. We are needing to focus. You know, believing the impossible is imminently possible to us because we are a new species. When we were born again, we were given the capacity to be like God, in that nothing is impossible to those who believe. And that is us. We have the capacity to have miracles through these hands of ours. Lay hands on the sick and see them healed. But we are swimming upstream. We are having to fight unbelief because the world will throw it at us. We are having to look away from the facts to the truth. It is not always easy, and it's so important to batten down the hatches, get quiet, turn away, switch off, silence the unbelief that is crowding in around us. The weeping, the wailing, the criticisms, the rebukings, you know, the sympathy, the sweet and kind people who are being sympathetic, which is toxic in our to our belief, to our faith. It is an unhealthy thing. No, we are praising God and celebrating the victory. We're not looking for sympathy. We need to say out, shh, quiet. I am working on something. I am filling my heart with the word of God. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word. And from the abundance of the heart, our mouths are speaking faith-filled words, declaring it over our situation, over whatever it is, over the healing of our loved ones, of our children, of ourselves. We need to be quiet and do what he says. He only allowed three of his disciples in, and the parents in. The rest of them, he shut them out. We need to stay away from unbelief. Everyone else thought he was crazy, but the few who were with him were believing. We must surround ourselves only with those who are believing. I can't tell you how important that is. Even if you only for a season surround yourself with very few select people, you need to be ruthless. It is only for a season. You will have your breakthrough. And then after that, those people will have to listen to your testimony. And if they don't like it, they are the ones who are going to go away of their own free will. But until they, you've had your breakthrough and you're running around shouting, it is done. And you have the testimony. While you are waiting for your breakthrough, while you're waiting for that healing to manifest, and in my case, it was a five-year period from when I started believing till James was seen by the specialists, and they said, neurotypical, there's no sign of autism. But it was a five-year journey, during which time I would not surround myself with unbelief. I would not listen to anybody who didn't agree with what the word of God was saying. I stopped going to the therapist. I stopped going to see the specialist and get more and more reports. I stopped going to churches that didn't believe, which meant I didn't go to any church because there wasn't one in my area where there were people who would believe with me. But I would phone ministries and I would pray with people on the phone lines, and we would agree. And that is where I stayed, in my little batten down the hatches and only surround myself with those who believe. We've got to put them out, switch them off, delete, unfollow, whatever. We need to get quiet and focus on the only thing that matters. What does the word of God say? What are we believing? And then fear not, only believe. No matter what happens. Now, you know, when I was believing for James and he was starting to show signs of so many improvements, and then he got croup and he nearly died, and I had to phone the emergency services, and they got there in 5 minutes, thank you Lord, because he was going blue and unable to breathe, and they had to stick the vasodilator, nebulizer, oxygen, etc., and get him breathing again. And that was a distraction, certainly, but all the time I was like, fear not, only believe. And so I got the help we needed, and they helped him, and then we moved on, and I thanked God that by the grace of God, the emergency services got there soon. And if there was an issue of pain, take your pain medication, but keep on believing. Do not fear, only believe. Do what you need to do to cope with where you are today, but fear not, only believe. And then batten down the hatches, surround yourself with only words of encouragement, words of faith, and those who are believing with you and encouraging you. You are a believer in the God who says nothing is impossible for those who believe. Hallelujah. So that's the main thing I want to say today. While I've been speaking, something else has cropped up in my mind. And that is, people say, if the enemy has been defeated and Jesus has already provided healing at the cross, why do we have to fight for it? Well, I'll give you an idea. When Timothy was about 11 years old, in England, we had a system where you'd get your child assessed, and if they had special educational needs, then you could get a statement of educational need, which was a legal statement you would take to the school, and they were required to provide the education that your child needed. And I had been to the specialist. She had identified Timothy's problems of communication, of all the learning difficulties, etc. And he, at this stage, had never been in a formal schooling environment at all yet. And I wanted him to get some education. And so I was seeking to get this statement. But the local education authority was overwhelmed with the number of children with special needs. A huge amount of children with autism were suddenly needing these extra resources. And so they were very difficult, and they were refusing us parents these statements, which these legal documents that would provide our children with the education. And so they refused it to me. They said there wasn't enough reason to give him one of these. And I knew that they were actually going against the law. My specialist that had assessed Timothy had said if he was put in a regular schooling environment, that it would result in a complete mental, emotional, and psychological breakdown. And that is the top neuropsychologist of the country. And they were ignoring that and saying, you need to put him in school. And we're not providing any special educational situation. So they were the ones that were supposed to deliver the help that the government, that the law had said they would deliver. And yet they wouldn't do it until I fought them with the law. I went to educational lawyers and I said, the local education authority is refusing to do what they are legally obliged to do. So then I got them to look at the reports, to put together a report, to send a report to the local education authority, a legal letter. And then I phoned them up and I said, and I will take you to court. I will fight you to the nth degree. I have a wealthy benefactor who has put his enormous, infinite wealth at my disposal, and I will fight you till I win. Of course, I was referring to God and his resources at my disposal. But they didn't know that. They got the legal letter. They immediately backed down, knowing they had no leg to stand on. And they submitted to the legal requirements, and they gave a statement for Timothy. As it was, in the end, we didn't really use it, but that's another story. But the fact is, I had to insist on the legal requirement that had already been obtained for me. I had to insist on it. And we have already obtained healing. We have a legal, spiritual, legal right. Jesus died on the cross and he gave us a legal right to be healed. But we have to fight for that right, because the enemy will come in seeking whom he may destroy. And we have to stand up and say, we are not that one. Back off right now, because here we have a letter, a legal requirement. We know our rights and we are going to insist on them. So that's how it works. We're not fighting the battle to win healing. We are fighting to insist that the healing that is already our legal right is not robbed from us. So there's a subtle difference. but it helps with us and our faith and standing up, resisting the enemy and making him flee in whatever form he comes against us, whatever the diagnosis or the circumstances are. We stand up and we fight. But always, 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 we stay away from unbelief. We batten down the hatches. We switch off from the world as far as it is possible. You know, while I was standing in faith for my children, if I didn't have a husband who watched the news, World War III could have broken out and I wouldn't have known for months or even years. I wouldn't have known. All I knew was this, and I was listening. Shh, quiet, everything else. I'm listening. I'm listening to the still, small voice of the Holy Spirit while he gives me revelation, while he builds up my faith until such time as what is real in the real world starts fading and what is real in the spiritual becomes my reality, and then the spiritual dominates the physical. Praise God. And we have our breakthrough, and what Jesus has provided, we walk in. And I hope this has helped you. Bless you all. And feel free to share to anybody who needs it. And well, praise God. I'm encouraging you, and I'm believing with you that we will all see breakthrough in every area, that we have a right to have victory.
We hope you got some great nuggets of wisdom out of that teaching. Thank you for listening to the Healing Journeys Today podcast. And don't forget, you can find us live on Facebook and YouTube 7 days a week. If you would like to donate, please go to www.healingjourneystoday.com. Isaiah 53:5 says, "And by his stripes, we are healed." God bless you.